Welcome to The Benchcast with your host, the man whose business is benching, Coach Ben.
All right, guys. So let's jump into it. Hefe, like I said, he had the opportunity to go train with the greatest bencher on the planet by far. I believe Jimmy, we had Jimmy on back in a while ago, this was maybe May or something like that, but we had Jimmy on. He did a team Zoom with us. We asked him a bunch of questions. He's an awesome dude. He's one of the really cool dudes in the sport. Strongest lifter, single lift, biggest power lift of all time, not just squat, deadlift, biggest lift of all time. I think it's 1400, something like that. Biggest, think about that, guys. Most weight on a human body lifted in some capacity. Jimmy Cobb, 1400 something pounds in his hands. All right, I was talking with Hefe about it before he went. He's like, yeah, I better hit the 700. It's like half of what Jimmy does. And you just imagine, you know, how heavy 700 something feels. And then Jimmy's doubling it, literally double that weight in his hands. Just throw another load on. Unreal. So Hefe, if you want to talk a little bit about your trip down to work with Jimmy there, and then what you learned and the experience and the whole nine, let us know what's up.
What's going on, man?
What's going on, El Hefe? I see you shaved for the occasion, looking clean cut.
Yeah, I had a nice haircut. I had to be cleaned up a little bit, you know?
Digging it.
So, no, it was pretty good. I think the biggest thing I learned was how I was to properly set the shirt. Because once he had me set the shirt my way, the way I've been doing it, let me take a set, and then he kind of completely reset it. And he says, I want to see what you do. And then he kind of like showed me. So basically when you're setting the F8 shirt, you're not thinking of it like a poly shirt kind of at all. He said the F8, the whole front of it, you got to treat it like one piece. Like it's one unit. It's not like you set the shirt and then you pull it down. He's like, you should have it set where you want it before you even strap the back. So basically what he did, and I have a good video of him setting it on me that I'm going to send you. So if you want to make something and put it out there. Basically, so for example, like I had set it the top of my shirt about here on my chest. So I would take the shirt and I would hold it there. And then somebody else would just strap it right where it is, crank the belt down, and that's it. You can just literally lay it down, relax for a minute, wrap your hands. Because one of the biggest problems I was having is I was wrapping my hands first, getting into the shirt. Because once I'm in the shirt, can't really wrap my hands. So I'd wrap my hands, my wrists, get into the shirt. Somebody would strap it, belt it, pull it, set it. And by the time I get on the bench, it's like 3 or 4 minutes and my hands are like turning white, you know, because there's no blood flow in there. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, long story short, once it's set, you can flip the top down, get over there, get ready, wrap your hands, throw the shirt on. Somebody gets behind you, holds it, you swim in to your shirt, and then you're tight. Just keep it tight. Once it's all the way in, keep yourself tight like you normally do when you're setting it. But I basically just locked my hands together and set it up. But the other big thing was don't worry about setting your hands. Like even setting one hand and then having somebody move another hand. So your main concern is your back and setting into that bench and getting your arch and your tightness and your bridge. So basically I would get up under the bar, grab the bar right where it's not knurled in the middle, get yourself locked in as tight as you can, wedge it in and leave your hands right there. And whoever your spotter is, then you have them. He said he calls it sliding the rail. So he leaves your hands on the rail, stay locked in tight, and then have somebody just slide it out, and then you're ready to go. And then let them get the weight out to you. But he said he takes a little bit off of it as it's coming out. I kind of like that when I did it, not like kind of like let them take it all and then kind of just get shocked by it. If you have a little bit of it, you can stay a little bit tighter. So, I mean, those were the main things on the setup that I got away from him.
Yeah.
So,
Why don't we talk about that? So some really interesting cues and way he approaches that. I like the whole slide and the rail idea.
yeah.
But in the grand vision of it, what is going on in reality there? It's don't let the focus get off of the upper back. I think
Yeah.
that's the real big one, because that was something like, even if Darren was on here, you could talk to him about it. But Darren was really struggling with it because trying to set up, trying to move your arms around, it's tough. The shirt's restrictive, and it
Yeah.
takes away from what you just did with setting your back. The back's going to be the biggest thing, and
Yeah.
the way to approach it, kind of like in a poly shirt, how you do the hook grip in close, and then you start there, and then you go with your hands, and you're trying not to open up the shirt and let it slide up. Very similar with what he's talking about, sliding the rail. Don't put the priority on your hands and trying to reach and stretch the shirt. Let
Yeah.
someone position you, focus in on the back. And I love too that concept of not having someone take 100% of the weight initially too. It should be a gradual process, because also as you're coming out, you don't want to feel totally disconnected from the bar, and you still want, like, you're still bent underneath it. So you want a little compression to get your back set as you're coming out too.
Yeah.
And the way you unrack that, I'm gonna see if I can pull up the video so you guys can see how Hefe looked taking this bar out. Super smooth. And that's what attributed to you crushing that weight, Hefe. You crushed 715. How'd that
Dude,
feel compared to the other lifts?
it felt awesome. Like, I expected it to feel super heavy, like the first time I ever took 600. And honestly, it didn't feel any different than like me taking my 650 rep that I took, you know. But
And
that was the best set I had. That was the most locked in I was, because each set we did, he slowly fixed something that I was doing. You know what I mean? So like the second set wasn't as good, which was my 675, which also went through the roof, but I lost my breath because when they set me up, my shirt slid down, so I had to get off the bench, reset, get back on. So I had a lot of time just sitting there trying to get that rep done, and I ended up smashing it too.
Yeah, I love that. What do you think made the big difference to that weight feeling
You know what
lighter?
the biggest difference too on this one was? If you watch, once I'm set up, he pushes my belt down below my belly, so I was able to get a full breath.
Yeah.
So like I usually have my belt pretty tight so that shirt don't slide. When it's up on my belly, I have a hard time taking a big breath. That last one, I was able to take a huge breath. Shirt didn't move. It can't go nowhere when you set it the way he shows you. So once it's set and he just slides the belt down, it's not going anywhere.
Yeah,
You'll
there's
see. She pulls it down a little bit, and then at the end, right before I take the lift, he slides it right down. You'll see.
down more to your waistline.
Yep, you'll see. So it's kind of below my diaphragm, you know?
Yep, you can get full expansion there. Very good. Look at how clean, smooth that is. So let me go through it real quick with you there, Hefe. So, setup process, getting your feet down, Jimmy helping you plant your traps there.
Yep.
See, you leveraging the position, not worrying about your hands, worrying more about your back. And you're not in a restrictive position here. You're just in where the shirt's allowing you to be. Now, he's going to help stretch the shirt. So, you're not using your own force to do it.
Right. And he's
And he
going to
says,
grab your
both
elbow and
hands.
your wrist and slide it out.
Yeah, I love that. Both hands, great leverage point there. Now, that wasn't very fatiguing to you at all, right? You're just
No.
priority on back.
I felt awesome.
Really good. Cool. And you're squeezing your back the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
And then watch this, guys. Can get a nice breath there. Look at that. And he's doing it himself. Right? Or am I? Oh, no, I see the sides.
No, there was sides.
Yeah, I got you. Nice smooth transfer there. And look at the distance traveled out of the rack, guys. This is what I'm talking about. Set up in a position, you don't have to travel very far. Look at how efficient that is. Holy shit, that's efficient. Little wasted effort, beautiful bar path. Well done, Hefe. Anything about the press that he was talking about with you?
The only thing he thinks I should do is get it a little bit lower on my belly where I'm pressing. So like I was still pressing like up here when I could be like down here. You know, even if it's an inch, it's an inch is an inch. You know what I mean? You know, he said it was good, but he says I'm still a little flared up. Not much, but he said I could go down just a little bit more.
And did you mention anything about the idea of tucking in the F8 shirt versus a poly and any of that?
A little bit, yeah. So he tucks, but he doesn't. I mean, it's not the same as a poly, like tucked. So if this is flared, can you see me?
Yep.
So if this is flared, this may be tucked. You know what I mean? It might not be this. It's more, it's just a gradual tuck versus a drastic tuck. But the other thing is wherever you want to end up, you got to start way out there. So if it is tucking more to get the bar over where you're going to press, you don't want to be doing like a curved motion or anything, or a push back, because that's when problems haven't happened with this kind of shirt and the heavy weight. Because once you start doing that and your arms start moving a little bit, that's when you lose it, you know. But you want to always be perfectly straight wherever you start.
Yes. All right, got that. Like that. So that's something he coaches specifically to the F8 shirt, right? Because I know a little bit different process with the poly. Cool. Yeah, so you guys, I think there's definitely a huge benefit. I feel like if you've already had prior poly shirt experience and you transition to the F8, if your first introduction to a shirt is the F8, I think it's a much smoother transition in that, right? But you lose some of those technical elements of what you might have learned in a poly coming over. So there is some minor differences, but that's good to hear. That's cool. You learned a lot there, that Hefe, huh?
Oh yeah, and he said the main thing, like when I'm setting up right here, like we were just talking about, the whole reason for the slide the rails, he says your only focus is getting your traps set and your back tight as possible. Don't worry about your hands at all. Just let them get your hand out there and keep that tight the whole time. That's the biggest thing he emphasized. And he said, basically, he said, people undervalue trap work. He said, you need to do lots and lots of trap work. That's one of his favorite accessories. He says, we shrug all the time.
Yeah, I know he's really huge on doing back work, which I love.
Shrugs, power shrugs, SSB shrugs, every variation he could possibly do it. And he trains them at incredibly high volume. So he doesn't train low volume, like where you're doing your accessories to a six. He will do like four plates for 20 to 30, five plates for 20 to 30, six plates for 20 to 30, go all the way up to like 800 pounds, and then drop all those sets and do 20 to 30 on the way down. It's wild.
He basically told me, he says, throw everything you can at your back. He says it can handle it. He said, if you don't wake up the next morning and feel like, what the hell did I do yesterday? And like can barely move, then you didn't really do enough. You know,
Love it.
yeah, he
Love
said, throw everything you can at it.
it.
Yep.
So
And then
go.
forearm work. It's forearm work he talked about a little bit too. So.
Yeah, and that probably really help too with any forearm pain, just building up those tendons, ligaments, the capacity to hold that weight too. Joe says, even for us raw guys, there's some good info here, like keeping the upper back stacked and setting right to limit the movement out of the rack. Yeah, so that is definitely there's so what I always say, guys, is I wish everyone had the opportunity to train and equip because it would just highlight everything you need to do raw because you can get away with bad habits raw and really not even notice, right? It's limiting your capacity and you're not even noticing. But when you train equipped, I mean, it F's you from the start. So you learn right away what's at a deficit. I love that though, Joe. That's really good info. Always keep the upper back squeezed. I've been telling a lot of you guys to crush a marble between your shoulder blades and constantly be crushing that thing throughout the entire set. This past week, I was cueing that quite a bit. I wanted to really put that focus on what you're doing with the upper back. I love to hear that. Hefe is not even working here to get out in the shirt. Because you think about it, you got to have tremendously strong rear delts, even sometimes to get one hand placed yourself, because you're literally fighting resistance to try to spread that shirt yourself. So to him, have both hands set here, prioritize his upper back, which he can. He has freedom of motion here because the shirt, it's just where the shirt is. So it's not like he's opposing it and everything wants to snap him back in. He can set his upper back. And then I love that whole slide the rail concept. You see Jimmy here from where his hands are there, working both his arms out. And the big thing with the F8s, especially just because there is a lot of that elasticity wanting to snap you in, I love how he is grabbing below elbow, which we've talked about. Most people will grab you at the wrist, but there's a lot of torque on the elbow. It's not going to feel very good, but he's getting both points of leverage there. Boom, moves everything out. Efficient for him, efficient for Hefe, keeps his back squeezed, belt comes down. Great setup position here. Bar comes out right where it needs to be. And the loading's going to be so much better. That's going to be a nice, smooth load. Hefe takes it aggressive, throws it back, and it's a smoke show.
Yeah,
This
it went
video
up
really
so
struck
fast.
me. Like seeing Jimmy set Jeff's hands even helps me because like I had no clue how to get my hand set when I used double straps on the F8 on that Widowmaker. So even seeing this, I might show my spotter next time just so they can set my hands with a double strap.
Oh,
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, I love the double leverage there. Wrist, elbow, smooth, efficient, boom, right there. Hefe. So I'll tell you guys, yeah, there is something to be said for the type of training he does, the technique he brings to what he's doing. But successful people also have successful habits. They set themselves up in a good environment. Usually the people around them are all very, pushing the same type of goals. So there's a lot of habits that successful people leave behind. Hefe, when you stepped in there, what was the atmosphere like? What was how was the training crew? Was everyone super focused? Talk to me a little bit about the whole experience being around them.
Yeah, they were all super focused, but they were all like, I mean, it was just super nice. Every three holes, it's not actually a huge gym, it's pretty small. I mean, they've expanded, they got everything they needed there. But yeah, everybody was pretty focused. There was only, I think there was four, maybe five of us benching that day. And yeah, everybody was just helping everybody out. Super helpful. Super helpful.
And what was Jimmy doing in his training that day?
What was that?
What was Jimmy doing in his training that
What
day?
was that? Oh, yeah. So I saw him go up to he went up to 1265 to a one board for a double. He was shooting for
Yeah.
five, but he only got two. So he was a little pissed off when he got done. That he didn't get five. I wish I could just get one of that weight, but he came off of a deload week and the bench pad is getting a little worn out, I guess. So that kind of led to, there was a couple factors that kind of led into it. So he kind of expected to have a little bit of a rough week, I guess, because he said every time he comes off of a deload week, he tends to have a off week.
To put it in
So.
perspective, his deload week was floor presses for 10 with 1,000.
Yeah,
Just
I
to put
saw
that in perspective.
Yeah, guys,
that.
some good lessons there.
Deload with a thousand.
So even Jimmy, who's benching 1400, has off sessions in the gym. So it's not like this guy is absolutely crushing weights every time he steps in. He's certainly gone through his own frustrations and battles. And he ended up having one, didn't get the five he wanted. That's, for some of you, if you were aiming for five and only got two, I mean, that's quite off plan. That's not a great day. So yeah, he's definitely upset about it, but think that, immediately go into the pad. All right, well, what can be better here? All right, I know the trend is that I'm not as great after a deload, so he's aware of that. So I'm sure he didn't lose focus of that. He's already thinking of the pad. How can I have better traction on the pad with what I'm doing? So his head's already going to, what can I do next? And That's how you gotta look at it. Even Jimmy's having these off weeks and stuff, so I think there's some powerful lessons in there, not to beat yourself up so bad when you guys don't have great sessions.
Jeff, real question is, how much barbecue did he put down after? Like, was it impressive or like, no?
Yeah, I mean, we all kind of ate a lot. Everybody did. We went to a we went to a Honey Pig afterwards, which is a Korean hot pot, and it was an all you can eat. So they just kept bringing us brisket, pork belly, and just throwing it on the fire out the middle. So I didn't really keep track of exactly how much he ate, but it was probably along the lines of what I ate, because I'm not going to turn down food myself.
See Joe nodding his head over there. He's down with that. I know that's up to Coach Steph's alley too.
Yeah, it
What?
was pretty good.
Was it good?
Oh
Virginia
yeah.
barbecue? You're not
Yeah, it
lying?
was no, it was a Korean barbecue, so it was Korean barbecue and hot pot. So it was like you kind of like they had to, it was a buffet, so you go up, get all the noodles, veggies, meat that you wanted, bowls of rice, whatever you wanted, just throw it in the middle and have at it.
Nice. I when you came up the trail with me, we went to a real shitty barbecue spot. That was New York barbecue, not the same.
Yeah.
That we won't go to that spot again. Next time you come up in a couple weeks to bench, and Coach Steph knows where the ramen is, so we'll go hit that.
Perfect. Perfect.
We'll go
I'm
hit that.
on it.
Tell Ethan, PR, go home. Gotta break that
Yep.
old record of his. But
Oh yeah.
yeah, Joe, gotta eat big to get big. Correct. The bench dictates the calories. Absolutely, Alan. And Jimmy's a massive dude, and it's surprising he's not very tall. He's just very thick. Very
Yeah.
thick guy. He is not very, he's actually shorter than myself and Hefe. First time I feel it's weird because I feel big, but I feel so small. It's a weird feeling. He's this wide monster, but I'm like over the top of him. So I finally feel big and tall, but I feel so small because I'm such a small person compared to
Yeah.
Jim. He probably blocked me out, eclipsed me.
His training is crazy too. Like he gets done with the bench, and then he does his like he was doing like tricep extensions with like 240 pounds, and then he was doing a bunch of other stuff. But we left, went to eat, and then he went back to the gym because he still had more stuff to
So I imagine he really has a lot of his time is dedicated towards his training. I imagine he doesn't have a lot else going on, especially on the weekend. Like his day is really revolved around training. Would I be
Right.
correct in assuming that?
Yeah, that's what I was getting out of it. I'm actually looking to, he told me I could come back down in about a month. I have a Katrina
Marshall.
who I lived with wants to go down too, so I might go back in a month right before the Arnold and just get one more session in with him. I don't know yet.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. I'm gonna show you guys a video. I just think it's funny. Let's see if I gotta play through the ads.
Cold Spice Gym and body wash, and this stuff got
This
20%
is
off.
I
It's
just
gonna
been
be
talking about
easy.
this lately, so I just wanted to bring it up. So this is Ray Williams. As you guys know, first guy to squat 1,000 pounds in just sleeves, not wraps. So he came by John's gym. What year was this? 6 years ago. Look at this is me behind him. You can't even see me. I want you to see how funny is he. So he took 1052 was the biggest squat of all time. Look, you can't even see me behind him. And the whole time I'm like, well, if this guy goes down, I mean, I'm not doing a thing. I can't even get my arms around him pretty much. But like I got a little nervous right when he was tipping to one side a bit. Biggest squat ever done. Little leaning a tower of leaning Pisa there, or whatever. But I mean, you can't even see me behind him. I just think it's funny. That's how I feel around Jimmy.
I like that he's wearing a t-shirt with his face on it.
Yes, yeah, that's his. He's was that the Maestro shirt? I forget who made that shirt. He was sponsored by the beard people, the beard maestros or whatever it was. And that morning, they whisked them off the Pennsylvania. And he like just got off of a 4-hour drive and like came back to the gym and squatted that. It's absolutely unreal. And I was trying to do FST on him the night before, fascial stretch therapy, and easily the biggest human I've ever tried to stretch. I mean, he's over like 400 pounds. And for me to even get his leg across the table was literally an overhead press. It was absolutely wild. And then at the end, you get up on the table, set someone's hips at the end. And I was just like, oh, I'm going to forego this one because if I get on this table, we're testing the boundaries because now we're up near 700 pounds. So I was like, what's the weight capacity of this table? So that was awesome, Hefe. Court, do you want to mention anything about your meet? Any lessons learned? Anything that you take away from that experience? If you can't chat, that's fine too.
My anxiety was like on level 1000, and I don't know what that was about, but I got to figure out how to fix that for next time.
Sure. What was making you anxious?
I honestly have no idea. Like, shut up, Brad. I know. Bane of my existence. I don't know if you saw or not, but I jumped the squat command on my opener, like the biggest rookie on the face of the planet.
Hey, but well, through it.
Yeah. I really don't know if it was just because like I had a lot of people there or if it was because I was like aiming for some pretty big milestone lifts or like what it was. But it was bad. Like my anxiety has not been that bad in years. But I made it through it. It was just like it was really hard to eat during it. I tried my best and like did what I could, but it was rough.
Gotcha. And what was the downside of that? Cuz I'll tell you, I mean, you can look at it as anxiousness and like a negative light, but I mean, that's never going to go away. You're always going to be worked up, heart rate going. It's how you really channel that energy. So we actually had a psychologist, sports psychologist come in, and it was one of the best seminars out of every seminar we've done at John's gym. I thought this was the most valuable. And he would talk about that a lot, is that those feelings are going to be very natural. Those are going to come up. You shouldn't look to suppress them. You'll just get yourself upset because you should be anxious. You should be. So Larry says feeling of being nervous, anxious, and excited are the same. So it just shows that you care, that when you get that type of feeling, those butterflies, that anxiousness. But it's how you frame that in your mind that, all right, this is something I'm feeling, but I still have to focus on what I'm doing. This is excitement, not necessarily anxiousness. I shouldn't suppress this. So I don't know if that's helpful to hear or not, Court, but that was a huge takeaway for me, is that you're going to deal with these emotions regardless. So instead of trying to suppress them or think of them in a negative light, view them as a positive thing. This means I care about what I'm doing. I'm excited about what I'm doing. And I'm going to channel that energy in a positive light. So I'm just going to be in those emotions. You know what I mean? Like, so in the back room, there's all this stuff going on, but I'm just staying focused on the time schedule. Like, all right, I need to start my warm-ups here. All right, I need to start taking this warm-up. I start putting the shirt on. And you just learn to kind of live in that existence of just chaos. There's always chaos going on if you get caught up in everything and you're thinking about, oh, my family's there, and oh, there's this crowd here, and oh, there's a camera in my face here. And you just have to kind of be in all that and just focus on what you're doing. But listen, Court, we've all jumped commands. So especially the first 2 years of powerlifting, you know, I talk about that all the time. Your first 2 years of powerlifting, things aren't autonomous yet. So you're going to jump commands. It's going to happen. So I wouldn't beat yourself up over it. You know, it's something that we've all done. I've jumped squat commands myself. I can certainly point out videos, and it's a real bummer because I finished the squat too, and I'm like pissed because it didn't count. So
he also had a rather large cheering section this time. So I think that's one of the first times she's had that many family members or kid, like, yeah, a few other people there that she cared about. So she even cared more about the performance, I think.
Yeah, that's a good reframe, Brad. Cared even more about the performance. That's what's triggering it, Court, is because you care that much more, because you have people in your corner rooting for you, you have family there. that's going to ramp everything up, but take it in as good. This is really good emotion that I'm feeling. It's not anxiousness. I would reframe it. Don't even call it anxiousness. Don't even give it a negative connotation. Just be like, I'm excited. I'm like super excited. All right, reframe it like that. That'll change a lot.
Or one thing I've done with that, because I'll get anxiety and stress and excited about meats and other in my life. One thing, create like a box in my mind, and I'm like, I'm taking all this good vibes and I'm putting it inside that box and I'm burying that in me, and that's what's powering this lift. So it's like in that moment, it's like use the thing that's working you up to help pump you up. You know, like that's worked for me a little bit. And it's like, you know, I've actually found sometimes like I'll be stressed about something, but then I actually perform better with that stress. I tell my wife, it's sin. She says, you're not Tom Brady. So shut up, Joe. but I feel like it helps me like perform better in the moment. Cause I'm like, this is high stakes. I'm going to use that to like fuel myself. So like, that's just something. And like in my mind, I draw a box and I'm like, I'm in here with the good stuff. The bad stuff is outside the box. It just can't come in right now. You know, so that's something I use. So
true Patriots fan making Pat's references.
Yeah.
That's what I always.
Podcast early next month, talking about breathing techniques and controlling that Yerkes bell curve with Liam, who has our Clear Blue Mind. So we're going to do that podcast and I'll share it with the team. It's just about controlling that central nervous system as you're going into your lift, either down regulating or up regulating on what you're trying to do. So if you go.
That'd be sweet, Brad. Yes.
Speaking of breathing, Coach Brad, I was just about to say that boxes at work, they taught us like this breathing technique because I work as a biologist, but there's some like game warden to work with us. And they were talking about how lower your heart rate and dial in when you need to. And the reason I think of the box is they taught us this breathing technique where you like spend 4 seconds breathing in, you hold it for four, and then you exhale for four, and then you spend four breathing in. And like I found like I'll do that before I'm getting really pumped up for something big, and it kind of helps, like even if it doesn't like or whatever, it's like I just spent those 16 seconds thinking about just breathing, so I don't think about the other thing I need to do. And then I built that box. I've got everything there and just dive in. Like, but everything different works for everyone. That's just my experience.
There was a really cool video that was real powerful that I was watching. It was kind of like documentary kind of, you know, filming the process of what's happening. Someone was going to go and speak on stage, and you're seeing the venue before anyone's in it. And it's like a huge conference. This is monster conference. And you know, this place is going to be packed. It's going to be jamming. Lights are going to be going. And this person's going to give a presentation. So already I'm like, I'm anxious watching a YouTube video. I'm sitting on the couch and I'm freaking anxious. I'm like, holy shit, if I was in this position, look at all these people here. And you're already feeling it. So now you're anxious for the person and you're seeing them in the back room and you're hearing the crowd roar and they're like going to get ready to go and nail a speech and stuff. And you're like super anxious. You know, why am I anxious? I'm sitting on a couch. I'm like anxious for this guy. And you see in the back room, there was a, I don't even know what you'd call them, some kind of psychologist, I suppose. And they were running them through like a mental drill. And it was a lot of, breathing and close your eyes, be in this moment, getting you to channel different thoughts, forget about what you're about to do, just be in this moment, breathing, that type of thing. It's really cool to see someone at a high level like that actually bring in someone just to take them through that type of a drill in the back. So it shows you how powerful those types of things can be. And, you know, just helping you be in those emotions, channel it to something positive and go out and crush it. So yeah, Coach Brad, definitely a need to avoid it on comp days or I'm a wreck. It's obviously stimulants will make it worse. Yes. Yeah, 100%. That's a great point there, Larry, is if you are already very anxious, getting yourself super hyped may not be the best strategy for sure. So it depends where you are on that spectrum too. You know, now I've, you know, just been doing it for some time. So At first, maybe some larger events would have really riled me up a bit more, but now I'm able to really contain those. So it's almost like I need the stimulants a little bit more than maybe prior. But if it's a new thing for you to be on the stage with all these people lifting heavy weights and you're anxious about that, that's a great point by Larry, is that maybe you should just be lower on your stimulants, for sure. And I think a lot of kids that get into it, I see them make that mistake quite often. I remember coaching at the high school, and man, these kids, they're off the chain. They're like snorting C4 and stuff. And I'm like, guys, let's chill out here. They're like three scooping C4. And I'm like, you're getting me anxious watching you. Like, stop freaking out. Don't do that. And yeah, I can just imagine them going into a meet already being nervous and hyped off their four scoops of C4. So great point by Larry there. Joe, what's the dog's name? We need to know what's going on.
Oh, that's Bo.
Bo, I got love Duke. It. Like Bo yeah. Jackson.
Yeah. Yeah, Bo and Duke. So good boys.
Good names. That is some solid dog names. I'm into it.
Yeah, I didn't realize that I never watched Dukes of Hazzard, and I got the dogs, like Bo and Duke, and they're like, oh, do you have a Luke? And I was like, no, weird question to ask, whatever. And like the third time someone asked me, I was like, why does everyone keep asking me if I have a Luke? And then I Googled Bo, Luke, Duke. I was like, oh, that's from the TV show. No idea. So
I wasn't even a connect to the dots.
I didn't think anyone didn't watch Dukes of Hazzard. That's such a big part of my childhood.
Nah, man. I think I like caught enough. Episode 1, not much Dukes of Hazzard in my life.
Well, hey, I miss a lot of those good shows back in the day, but I'm watching a lot of Disney now, and like it tears me up. I watched Elemental, and I gotta, you know, be honest with you guys, it had me tearing up a bit. Now I'm watching all these kids shows with my son, so now I'm like tearing up at everything. I gotta go do something like Super Masculine after. You go chop wood, play with my dog out back or something after watching these Disney shows. That's awesome, Court. You had a great time at the meet. That's super sweet. Yeah, you'll see that a lot as your time competing. You'll see a lot of these people that you look up to. And just say, hey, just say what's up. I remember when I first met Jimmy. And I don't know how aware I was of Jimmy, because this was like early on as he got back from the military, and this was like one of his first meet back. And I had my booth set up at the RPS event, and he needed a handoff because one of his guys didn't show, which is like, it seems like a common trend for him, because I've helped him out a few meets. Usually a guy doesn't show, but a guy didn't show. And then he came up to my booth just because it was like Big Bench's booth. So I think he figured that we knew what we were doing. And then he asked me for a handoff help. I was like, yeah, absolutely. And then he was told me he was going for like 1,000 pounds. I was like, what the hell? This guy's a freak. He didn't hit it that day, but we can see how things turned for him. Mary messaged me after on Instagram congratulating me on my deadlift. That is fire. Hell yeah, Court. You dropped some fire on that comment. That's awesome. Well, I can't find I'm going to give you some fire anyway. I'm going to search fire emoji. There we go. That's awesome. All right, guys. Anyone else have some cool stuff from the weekend? Anything you want to talk about in particular? Got some good takeaways from Hefe's trip to the train with Jimmy? I think there's some really big things we talked about.
I'm really looking forward to my first cheat meal of the year this week. I've been dialed right in on my of the year. I know I've been dialed right in on my diet and staying focused all year. Cause knowing I know where I want to be for the Arnold. And so like I have almost perfect macros every day this year, perfect water, perfect sleep. And Thursday I'm going to Margarita's restaurant and I'm eating a double meat steaming hot fajita combo. And after work, and it's going to be glorious. So I'm really looking forward to that.
I love it, Joe. Hey, you know what? I love that too, because you've been so dialed in that it just means that much more to eat that burger.
Yeah.
Whereas someone who's not, it's like, all right, that's just another burger I'm going to feel shitty about.
I'm going to favor it.
Yes,
yeah. Yeah, it's going to be so good.
Well deserved.
So all 15 days watching that diet this year or what?
What's that, yeah, Coach?
That's what I was thinking.
So you made it all 15 days this year, like on the diet?
Yeah, well, I mean, like, usually, like, I'll be at day 18. Perfect. And usually I'm like, you know, all right, I need a little extra calorie. It's here to just power through that. I'm like, perfect in every aspect of the diet for the first 18 days. So it's like a little cheat meal. And that's going to get me through the rest of the month, you know. So I've had it planned for a week and a half now. Something to look forward to.
Yeah, I love
that. And it works out well because it's a heavier week this week with higher RPE. So I'm going to need a little bit more fuel.
That's the time for it.
Coach, we should do that challenge again with the showing your fitness pal and your macros.
Yeah, that's a great idea, Larry. We could certainly do that. Yeah, who would want to do that? I'd be down. I'm trying
what
to
is
get good flow. So we were doing where you would take a screenshot of whatever nutrition tracking app you were using. And, you know, just for accountability purposes, we'd post it up in the group after. And yeah, we could certainly do that. And, you know, it's always good to use the group for any accountability, right? Always. That's why I always tell you guys, feel free for whatever you need to hold yourself accountable to. If you're trying to get more fluids in, whatever it is, just post about it. Just like drop a post. There's never such thing as too many posts. Use that accountability. Because you know, just by knowing you're going to like post something after and just the, you know, feeling dumb if you don't hit it, you're like, I'm accountability to this. And if I post it and it doesn't hit, then I'm going to feel pretty silly. So that already gets you super focused in more on what you want to do. So definitely, I think that's a great idea. So we can do that, Larry.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, digging it. All right, guys. So I will let you go about the rest of your day here. I really appreciate you guys joining me. Jeremy, thanks for taking the time this morning. Alan, appreciate you, buddy, all the way from Romania. My guy in Romania. I'm digging that. You're digging the backdrop, too. I like that. I changed that up this weekend. And Coach Steph, thanks for popping on. Hefe, Joe, Court, congrats on your meet, Court. Great performance. Bill as well. Bill's not here, but big kudos to Bill. Coach Brad, thanks for popping on. And Larry, all the way out in Arizona. It's 7 a.m. for Larry out in Arizona. He joined us here at 6 a.m. Guy's crazy. Guy's nuts, off the rails. All right, guys. I appreciate each and every one of you. Enjoy whatever you're doing today. Good football games this afternoon. Conclusion of wild card weekend. I've already had some blowouts, some surprises, so see what we get this evening. I'll talk with y'all soon, all right? Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you found this helpful, I'm looking for powerlifters who want to add over 10 pounds to their lifts in the next 30 days. If you've been struggling to make progress or have been lacking motivation, let's chat. Message me next level at Big Benches on Instagram. See you next show.